Welcome to Torati Mecha Nachyomi with YoYu Initiative. My name is Marcy Stern, and today we will be studying Sefer Hosea, Perek Gimel. Last class, Perek Beis, we studied the beautiful reversal of the shocking names of Hosea's children, Yisrael, Lo Ruchama, Lo Ami, to the benevolent names Ruchama, Ami, and Yisrael, now meaning that they will be firmly planted in Eretz Yisrael. Via vivid imagery and dialogue, the message is clear that the Jews that are acting like the Zonah will suffer pain and exile and will undergo the process of tshuva before they will merit return to the land and the reestablishment of our relationship with Hashem, our husband. We begin Perek Gimel with Hosea once again being told to engage with a woman of ill repute. The emphasis this time is a bit different than Perek Aleph, as we will soon see. So let's begin. Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph says, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, Od leich ehav isha ahuvat rea umina efet. Once again go and love a woman who was beloved of her companion and is now and has done adultery. The phrase ahuvat rea begs to be clarified here. And Metzudas al Sheikh say, what does it mean here? That Hosea was told to go and take a woman who was already married, and her husband, her rea, loved her very much, yet she went and did snus. And this was adultery. She was a married woman doing snus. She was an adulterer. Radak says, on the other hand, that he was to take a wife who will be more beloved to him than any other, and then she will be mezane. The term ahavat rea should be familiar to us from Sheva Brachos when we talk about a young couple being reim ahuving, loving friends. Now, most people say, most of the Mefarshim say that this didn't actually happen, that this particular perek was a nebuah said b'chalom in a dream, and he is telling over the entire story. One of the proofs is that this particular perek is written in the first person. So he's saying, Hashem said to me, and you know, everything is I did, and he goes through it that way, which is like hearing a dream and now just telling it over. Why take her? What was the lesson? And here we have to continue reading the pasuk. Od leich ahev isha uvat rea. He's doing this for the second time. Umina efet, and she is an adulterer. Ka'ahavat Hashem et b'nei Yisrael, ve'heim ponim el Elohim acherim v'o'avei ashishei anavim. This rea, who loved the woman so much, is like the love Hashem has for B'nai Yisrael. Okay? Hashem is the husband, really. B'nai Yisrael is the wife. And just as this other woman was very beloved to her husband, so too this is the love that Hashem has for B'nai Yisrael. And what do? They go from God to God. And not only that, they love goblets of wine. Okay? So the goblets of wine gives us a little pause. We have to understand what that means. And I'd like to read to you a few words from Radak. He says, what is going on here? What should have happened if Hashem loves us? They should have followed Hashem, obviously. But, Radak says, V'tachat asher haya lahem le'ahov Torah Hashem u'mitzvotav. And instead of coming and loving the Torah and all the mitzvos that their husband, so to speak, Hashem has given them, v'lahagot b'ha'avata tamid, and to be involved with it at all times, ki hi ha'malamedet haderech ha'torah ha'tovah v'ha'yishara, because the Torah teaches us the proper and straight way to go, parkume aleim ol Torah, they sort of thrust off from them the yoke of Torah, Va'avu ta'anugei ha'olam v'ta'avatam. Rather, they went according to what their desires, their physical desires were. They went after wine. And we find this very, very much so when it's in descriptions of life amongst Aseres HaShvatim. The Nevi'im talk about it a lot. They used to drink a lot and silver and all sorts of materialistic things. And Hashem's saying, what? I giving you my love and you go to Avodah Zarah's and you love flipping your way or flittering away your life like this? There's a very famous pasuk in Yeshaya Chav Chet. Va'omar hoy mashkimei baboker shechar yirdefu ma'acharei baneshev yayin yadlikeim. Woes to these people who get up early in the morning in order to run after alcohol and drinking. And they stay up late at night and the wine lights them up. So what he's contrasting here really is what the life could be and what it really is. Now notice, this is important. Notice that the root word ahav appears four times in this one pasuk, okay? Ehav isha ahavat reya ke ahavat Hashem va'ohave ashishe anavim. Okay, now the word root of ahav has already appeared. We talked about this last week, that the Zona in, and even she quotes this, elcha achare ma'ahavai, five times the word le'ehov, to love, comes up, but it's always when it's talking about love for Avodah Zarah, for the different nations. Hashem describes in a parak beis how he will expose her to ma'ahaveha, to her lovers. You know, in parak aleph, there's no talk of love at all. Now, we get introduced to it in parak beis, but this parak beis, ahava, is misdirected, right? The Zona talks about it, legabe her Avodah Zarah, instead of realizing that real love should go towards Hashem. This is the first time, right here in Perek Gimel, that we're talking about the love of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. Okay? Perek Aleph, it's interesting. Perek Aleph tells him to kach lecha eshets nunim, go marry a zona, and he goes, and it's shocking behavior, and Hashem is basically expressing anger and frustration with Bnei Yisrael, culminating with the names of the children. In Perek Beis, the word love is there, but to the wrong entity, totally wrong place. So till now, the whole story has been focused mainly on her, the Zona, Bnei Yisrael, and what they're doing wrong to their husband. In Perek Gimel, the theme revolves not only about the indiscretion of the Zona and its repercussions, but most importantly, the love Hashem, the husband, still has for his sullied wife despite these sins. It's a wounded husband, so to speak, who cares so much and doesn't want to sever his relationship. There is an interesting targum that the Barbanel brings on these words, Avei Ashishe Anavim, that sort of reflects what I'm trying to say. It says that if Bnei Yisrael, he says that if Bnei Yisrael will repent, Hashem is saying he will forgive them and view their misdeeds as if they had done it in a drunken state, and thus, and therefore, not be culpable. Or it's like Hashem is saying, V'heim ponim al Elohim akarim, they go to different gods, Aishba, ve'ashishe anavim. But, you know, these kids, sometimes they do things they're not supposed to. They're drinking a little. Ay, 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 I'll have to forgive them. So you see little hints here. It's not the pshat, but it's certainly giving us an idea of Hashem's feelings, quote unquote, in this situation. Okay. So what does Hoshea do now? What does Hashem tell him to do? So that's already Pasuk Beis. Ve'ekreha li, so he finds this woman, and he says, I will be koneh her. I will, so to speak, buy her for kiddushin. He will go through this process of kiddushin with her. And just as today, in order to be koneh a wife to marry, we have a ring that is transferred. Instead of the ring here, which they didn't do in those years, what was it? He gives the following. Ve'ekreha li b'chamisha asar kasef, 15 pieces of silver. V'chomer sa'orim, chomer is a measurement of barley. V'lesech sa'orim, and another smaller measure of sa'orim. Very strange pasuk. What's going on here? Why, you know, he's why tell us all these details, you know, of what kind of was it wheat, it was barley, and if, how many pieces of kesev? What's really going on here? First of all, the Mefarshim want to say that this particular woman who was an adulteress was getting barley specifically, because barley is more of a food that you give to an animal. Wheat is really the more processed type of food that we eat. So it gives a little bit of a put down to her and remembering who she is and what she did. I'd like to know that there are, by the way, Mefarshim who try to figure out exactly how much barley it was. And just for the fun of it, I thought it was interesting. They estimated to be anywhere between 85 and 171 gallons of barley. Okay. And again, in truth, according to Moshe Forshi, this was just told over as a story. It did not actually happen. Hoshea did not actually go and be Kona the woman. Okay. So what's this whole business here? What are we supposed to learn? What are we supposed to get from this picture of going in and 15 and all this lesech and all these things, the measurements? The Barbanel wants to say that what we have here is not specific to Hoshea, obviously, but talks about us as a nation. That Hashem, in the Perek, is obviously upset with us and unhappy with us because he loves us very much. And so what he's going to do now is to refer, at this point, how he acquired the Jewish nation in the first place. The Navi is going to relate to us in a detailed description how the relationship was initially established, okay? So Reb Sadia Gaon, for instance, wants to say that why is there 15 kesef? That's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and the 12 Shvatim. That there's a background, there's a history here of people who had turned to him and recognized him. Others want to say Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, and the 12 Shvatim. Again, leaders who were there to announce his coming and his greatness to the nation, so to speak. Okay? Many of the Mefarshim really go with bringing a beautiful, beautiful way of explaining this. And that is, why is it so specific? Again, it wants to show us how we establish the relationship with Bnei Yisrael. So let's start at the top. B'chamisha asar kasef. He gave her 15 pieces of silver. And it was on the 15th of Nisan that there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the beginning of our nation. 15, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kesef, kesef. And the word Nisan, take away the yud, are the same, 160. So on the 15th of Nisan was our beginning. Hashem took us out. He became to be our God, okay? Then it says, Chomer Sa'orim. Chomer Sa'orim equals 30 se'ah. These are different measurements that were used. And it's sort of like if we say it's 30 quarts or whatever it might be. A chomer is 30. And there were 30 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the 15th of Iyar when we got the man. So, and why is that an important? Because the man was showed sustenance. Man was something supernatural. Hashem just didn't bring us out into a mudbar and let us die. So Hashem was taking care of us. That took 30 days. Those are the 30 days until Tetvav Iyar, the man. And then we come to the Lesach Se'arim. That is 15 se'ah. It equals 15 of this type of measurement. And there were 15 days more from the time they got the man on Tetvav Iyar until Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when they came to Midbar Sinai. Okay? So we've passed like 45 days so far, and Hashem is walking us along, and we are now coming to Midbar Sinai, where we all know soon they will get the Torah, okay? And if you look, if you sort of skip ahead to Pasuk Dalet, when he starts talking, Ki yamim rabim yeshvu b'nei Yisrael, many days b'nei Yisrael will sit, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Mefarshim explain, Ki yamim rabim, yamim is at least two, yamim rabim is at least three. 2 plus 3 is 5, and so from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until 5 days more, Hey Sivan, then we're already at Matan Torah, and we are getting a Saras HaDibros. So he has said, marry this woman. She's been Mizana, right? But she has a loving husband. Let me tell you about our past. Let's start to rectify this this situation. Let's try to see that there is something common here that we can build upon, okay? Okay. Now, after that, it says, and let's go back to this word, Yamim Rabim, Pasuk Hey, excuse me, Gimel. After he gives this material to the Kinyan, it says, Va'omare Leha, okay? And Hoshea says to this woman, Yamim Rabim Teshvili, you will sit here for many days for me. Lo Tizni, I am warning you, do not go and carry on. Veloti Leish, and don't be with anybody else. Vagam ani elayich, and I too will do the same. In other words, he was getting ready for the Kedushin, and then he says, for the many years now, many days before, now you sit, and I have to see that there will be no adultery, and there will be no anything. You will be honorable to me, and I will be honorable to you. Okay? Abarbanel wants to say that these Yamim Rabim are going to connote Galus, that when Bnei Yisrael sinned during Bayis Rishon and subsequently Bayis Sheni, that Hashem is warning them that unless they clean up their act pretty quickly, what is going to happen that they will have to go up to Galus and they will be separated and those days may last very long. However, there is encouragement, the Barbanel says. There is the encouragement of the Nevi'im in Nach, who tell Bnei Yisrael that the Geula will eventually come, that they have to withstand the tribulations of Galus. They have to, the sorrows that will come upon them, and be secure in the knowledge that Hashem will bring the Geula, as it's predicted in Tanakh, and told over to us by 15 Nevi'im, who described the Geula and the Achris Hayamim, the end of days, and the fulfillment of Kesev. Remember, it was Chamisha Asar Kesev. Why Kesev? Because the root word of Kesev means yearning, to yearn. And there will be a fulfillment of your yearning over the years to reestablish your relationship, even though there is Hester Panim and Hashem has sent you into Galus. Who are these 15? Nevi'im, David, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Hosea, Yoel, Amos, Avadja, Micha, Habakkuk, Zvanya, Daniel, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Most of them are, you're going to be learning now in Treyasar, and of course you've done Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Yechezkel, David is in Tehillim. Do not despair in exile, he's saying, and abandon the Torah. Refrain from turning away from me. The bond with Hashem will be fulfilled. Bimos HaMashiach. He then goes on and spells it out, sort of leaves the Mashal territory, okay? And now he literally spells out the Nimshal, Pasuk Dalet. Ki yamim rabim yeshvu b'nei Yisrael. Many days they will sit in Galus b'nei Yisrael. Ein melech. Oh, by the way, it's interesting. Rashi says there, yamei galut, the days of Galus, she'anachnu bo hayom. And we're talking about where we are now too, right? Not just the Galus between first bias and the second, but now, this Galus that we are in. Ein melech ve'ein sar. There is no king and there is no officer, right? We're not under our own rishus. The goyim tell us what to do. Even we have Israel, but we don't have Melech HaMashiach, right? We're beholding to so much politics, I don't have to tell you, right? Ve'ein zevach, ve'ein matseva, okay? There is no sacrifice, there is no matseva, a pillar, meaning that there is no, when you're in Galus, you can't bring karbanos to Hashem. And on the other hand, there's nothing for you to bring up to the Avodah Zarah either, to these foreign gods. What he's trying to say here is you're going to be in a place where you're not going to have what you're used to. You won't be easy for you to just revert from one to the other. It'll be a new world that will be foreign to you. Ve'ein ephod utrafim. There will not be for you either the ephod, which was part of the Urim V'Tumim that was told us about the future, right? And the trafim were idols that also tried, they thought, to tell the future. All this is going to be gone. This past of yours is gone. I won't be there in the way I am when we have this relationship, Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. It will be different. You will be in Galus. However, what's going to happen? Achar yashuvu b'nei Yisrael. After that, you will return, b'nei Yisrael. Uvikshu et Hashem alokechem. And you will seek out Hashem, your God. That David malkam and David melech Yisrael. Ufachadu el Hashem. And they will tremble towards Hashem. Ve'el tuvo and to his goodness. Ba'acharit Hayamim. It's really a very much a fulfillment of what the Psukim had said before, right? In Eschanan, or Moshe says, "Batzar lecha umetzaucha kala devarim ha'ela ba'acharit hayamim v'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo." That after this whole procedure and having to go through the Torah and all of this, B'nai Yisrael will turn back to Hashem. And once they do that, even having to go through this painful procedure, they will once again be able to be Ruchama. They will be able to be not lo ami, but ami, Yisrael in a positive way, in using the words at the very end of the Perek, ve'el tuvo be'acharit hayamim, reaching that end of days that we also try for. There's a beautiful, well-known Gemara that says, Tana Mishum Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, Bishlosha Devarim Ma'asu B'nei Yisrael. Three things B'nei Yisrael turned away, were disgusted with, B'yamei Rechavam. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo. He was the one who split the Melucha. Malchus Shamayim, They turned away from Hashem being their master God. Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of David, and the Beis Hamikdash. And you know that, right? They wouldn't allow Bnei Israel to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. David Melech Yisrael, his children and his descendants were the kings in Yehuda. And Hashem said these things were three major pillars of our existence as a nation. And at the time of Rehavam, Bnei Israel turned their backs on it. Amar Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, what does he say? What does Reb Shimon ben Manasseh say? Ein mar'in siman tov liYisrael ad sheyechzeru v'yevakshu shloshtan. Bnei Israel will never see goodness until they go and seek out these three things. What again are these three things? Let's say it again. That's that last pasuk. Look at the way it starts. U'bikshu, they will seek out. Number one, et Hashem Elokeichem. They will say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch, Shem Kavod, Machusel, Le'olam Va'ed. Number two in the pasuk, Ve'ed David Malkam. That's David Melech Yisrael. That's Mashiach. They'll desire it. They want to return to Hashem and to the dynasty of David Mashiach. Ufachadu el Hashem the El Tuvo, and they will tremble coming up to Hashem and his goodness. That's talking about the Beit HaMikdash. So this pasuk is showing us, so to speak, the hope and of the destiny that the 15 Nevi'im are trying to impress upon Bnei Israel then and press upon us now, that we may have galus, and it may be many, many years of galus, but the dream is still there because Hashem is the loving husband and he has a past with us, right? We have a past. And yes, you might have to suffer to pay, to purify yourselves, but the future is there. I would just like to add one nekuda before we finish. And that is, it says, the Alshich. The Alshich says something, and I'll just, it's an English translation, so I'm just going to read it because it's very interesting. He says, Hashem directed Hoshea to become engaged to a woman who had previously been married and had engaged in promiscuous behavior, and to demand of her that she honor the bond of their engagement by refraining from illicit activities. Her success stands a symbol to the nation that fidelity can be regained even after wanton adultery, and they too can return to Hashem and serve him faithful again. There are times we get ourselves into the idea that we're so bad, we've done so much harm. How will we ever get out of this? How could Hashem ever take us back? It becomes like frustrating and depressing when you think about it. And the Al-Sheikh wants to say that this whole thing is not only talking about rehabilitation of Klal Yisrael, but it's a lesson to us that even she could be come back and be loved by the husband, so we all can. It's her success, again, stands as a symbol to us that fidelity can be regained. Thank you so much for studying with me, Le'ilu Nishmas Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Center.